They exceed them. In fact, he's thinking of staying 2 weeks.
Works for me.
JDI Cleaning Systems, a powerful force after dark. For a quote, call 519-672-8111.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
What's your impression of the water you're drinking in London? Mount Bridges, Strathroy, St. Thomas, or Ingersoll? Heather Gingrich with us this morning. Heather, give us a shameless plug for who you are and why you're qualified to talk on this topic.
Shameless. Okay, I am a scientist, and my area of specialization is maternal child health and drinking water chemistry. And so, yeah, that's what I do. Like, I just basically, anybody who wants to learn about, water chemistry, forget about the E. coli for just a second. Not that it's not important, but it's just, wow, nobody's really looking at this chemistry angle. What does the science, what does the research say about, you know, some of our, you know, our health problems that we're having now? Because the Canadian Environmental Law Association participated in a really wonderful review about all these, you know, chronic health problems that we're having now, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, mental health, reproductive problems. And what they came up, the conclusion that Kathy Cooper came up with there was that a lot of it has to do with environmental exposures and overexposures during early childhood and even prenatally, even pregnancy-wise. So
Let's make two lists, Heather. One is the list of the items in our water which are the most dangerous to us and our health, and then we'll draw a line across the page and link it to the specific health issue. What, in your mind, would be the number one issue when it comes to what's in our water that shouldn't be, and then the health issue related to it?
Well, it's really hard because everybody's sort of a little bit of an individual, so it manifests itself in different ways. But in terms of, like, the easiest no-brainer, oh, my gosh, have you looked at the literature lately, it would be fluoride, of course. Like, that is just the – and it's going to be the hardest to deal with overall because now there are so many sources of it everywhere that are really hard to control. And even really hard to know about. We have to be doing a whole bunch of analysis because when you read a label on a product, that doesn't, you know, it sort of gives you the information they want to give you. What we don't have happening in the marketplace is sort of these independent, third-party, non-biased, kind of like consumer reports type people who actually will analyze these products and say, oh my gosh, I know the label says this, but when we analyzed it, we actually found this.
Okay, so fluoride, and I'm going to draw an arrow to the other side of the page, and I know I could make a list a page long, and in fact, I have the list in front of me, but what would be the three or four or five top issues that you are really concerned about that are linked to fluoride?
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll just tell you about our what we find here in Ingersoll, because we're the poster child for this problem, because we have naturally high fluoride over the drinking water standard. So what we see is that thyroid problems, particularly in women, because they're not quite as heavy as men, and they drink a lot more water than men. So thyroid problems in women, which leads to all sorts of things like weight gain, depression, hormonal imbalance in general, so it can be a real mess. Men get kidney stones, and I think it's got to do with how their physiology is a little bit different than women's. And then with children, we have a lot of problems with learning disorders. And part of that is because of the fluoride's effect on the brain, but then also because of conductive hearing loss. They sort of get this arthritis of their little bones in their ears. And they check out fine neurologically as babies. And then, but by the time they're 5 years old and they start going into school, and it happens really slowly, their hearing loss kind of creeps up on them, and they really adapt really well until they get to school. And it's a new environment, and they're like a five-year-old kid with 90-year-old ears. And they get misdiagnosed as having ADHD. And, you know, if their clinician is on top of things, they'll start to look at the water chemistry and go, oh, my gosh, you've got high fluoride. Okay, we've got to claw back on that.
Heather, do you know how many people are listening right now in London, Ontario, are going, oh, I hope Heather is wrong. That is so scary. We got to get fluoride out of our water. Okay, we had a vote. Stephen Orser is much more concerned about the ombudsman and some lunch at Billy T's. Rome is burning. Our children are having horrible side effects from the fluoride in the water, and here they are talking about these other silly issues. For the sake of time, because we only have 2 or 3 minutes left, let's go to number two. You said fluoride is definitely the number one issue in our water. What's number two?
Number two would be all those things we don't know about because we're not testing them for. So I'm going to say all these pharmaceuticals and pesticides and all those things that aren't on the list for testing, so our government doesn't tell us about them. But they're there. Oh, my gosh, they are there.
I put it this way. You go to Shoppers Drug Mart and you see those rows and rows of drugs and pills, and then you think, where are they going to be 1 or 2 months from now?
Yeah, exactly. And by and large, they're in your water supply or somebody else's water supply that's further downstream. But I think it was Rachel Carson who wrote Silent Spring, and she really kicked off the environmental movement. I think she said, you know, everybody's downstream. We're all downstream.
Wow, that's a powerful phrase. Everybody is downstream. Okay, what would number three be? As if those two aren't enough all
by
themselves.
Yeah, you know, like there, and there's, I'd say it's the minerals, because then we're getting into, just the things like the too much calcium, too much, you know, that kind of thing. Those things that, you know, in of themselves, like if they're in food or something like that, they're fine. But if they're in their kind of like dissolved rock form.
Heather, we have a 1 minute left.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what is your message to London, Ontario on World Water Day?
Get with the times, avail yourselves to the technology, and demand from your decision makers that they do the kind of testing that we can now easily do at any university. And find out exactly what we're up against so that we can make some informed decisions and move forward.
Okay. And about the link between our water issues and all the health problems, like the problem of autism, which we focused on earlier this week, and we're absolutely shocked at what an epidemic we have in North America. We need to get some answers as to why, as Pam says, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever.
I would say, and this falls into the shameless plug department, I'm the co-chair of the Children's Health and the Environment Technical Session at an international conference in Washington, D.C., August 25th to 29th, and we're going to be talking about environmental factors and children's health outcomes like autism and stuff like that. I'm trying to get Michelle Obama to attend the session, just be there and listen. So this is where I want to bring parents, policymakers, you know, earth scientists and health scientists, and just get them all in the same room and have them sit down and talk about, compare notes. Y'all look at your data, you look at my data, oh my gosh, this totally describes what I'm up against in my community as a clinician. So now you're going to have doctors actually saying, as part of your treatment, as part of your diagnosis, I want to know, you know, instead of taking you do it all the same. You take a blood sample, you take a pee sample, and you get a water sample to find out what's going on with this individual.
Wow. Heather Gingrich, when you get Michelle to come to your conference, you tell her you and her are more than welcome in our studios, and we'll chat it up and promote the conference.
I will extend the invitation.
I'm sure that will clinch it. Heather, it's been a wake-up call, and we thank you for what you're doing. Salute you. Folks, Heather Gingrich is her name. How can they contact you if they want to, Heather?
You can send me an email. It's medical.geologist@gmail.com.
Terrific. Thanks, Heather.
Okay.
Okay. Now, 10:30 news update. When we come back, I don't know how we ever got on this topic. Coma. When people are in a coma, are they closer to dead or are they closer to totally aware of what's going on around them? Global TV on their 16x9 program this weekend is going to look at that really, really frightening issue. Prison is scary. But being imprisoned in your own body and not being able to communicate, wow, that is one heavy number. We'll talk to reporter Beatrice Politi in our next half hour right here on London Today.